You've heard the benefits of sobriety, amazing sleep, and less anxiety. But what happens if you quit drinking and now you can't sleep and you're super anxious? Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. Could you do me a quick favor? Could you go to soberpower.com/survey and take a quick listener survey for me? It should only take a few minutes and it will really help me with the future of this podcast. That's soberpower.com/survey. Thank you for your help. Welcome back to the Sober Powered Podcast. I'm Jill, and today I want to talk about how long it takes to fully recover. I'm celebrating 3 years of sobriety on November 9th, and each year I record an episode about the past year of sobriety and how that went. What stood out to me the most this year is that I'm getting tired of sharing my story, and I feel a bit weird about being really personal. Lately, I've been asked to share my story a lot on other podcasts, and I think sharing our stories is important because it helps newbies or people who are struggling to accept that they need to get sober, and they might see themselves in your story and realize that they're not alone. However, I've shared my story a bazillion times, and bringing up old painful memories just feels exhausting to me right now. At first, I felt really guilty, probably because guilt is my natural state, but then I realized that it's okay to want to move on. I want to focus on what happens after sobriety, not before. So instead of getting super personal in this one, I want to discuss how long it actually takes for us to heal and recover. You may find yourself obsessing about sobriety or feeling frustrated that it's taking you so long to feel better, but it's a long journey. You don't just quit drinking and go back to normal right away. So in this episode, you'll learn how long it takes for the brain to recover and what you can do to take care of yourself while you're healing. So let's dig in. Something I really started to appreciate this year is that recovery takes a long time. You're going to think that you're killing it at certain milestones, which for me were 3 months, 11 months, and then anything after 18 months. I get asked a lot, when does it get easy? And I hesitate to say the truth, but really, after 2 years, is when it becomes more normal. For the first 2 years, you're recovering and healing and working on your sobriety. You're getting used to socializing. You're getting used to not drinking. You're learning what your triggers are. There's a lot of work that you're doing. And then after around 2 years, not drinking starts to become more normal. And it takes so long because there's a lot of work for us to do. I drank for 7 years, so I did 7 years of damage. But before the drinking, I was doing other self-destructive things and had no tools or coping skills. It's not just the years of drinking that we have to repair. It's all the years that we didn't learn how to cope in productive ways too. So think of how many years that is for you. The least we can do is devote 2 years to healing. Everyone will be different, of course, and your healing will depend on how far down the spectrum you got and how long you blew up your life with alcohol. I think this healing that I'm talking about manifests itself as sobriety obsession. And that can feel so frustrating. You obsess over alcohol for so many years only to quit and obsess about sobriety instead. So if you have sobriety obsession, you are not alone and it does get better. But we have to remember that alcohol damages basically every area of the brain. I think we get this, but we don't fully appreciate what that means. We get impatient in sobriety and expect things to be better immediately. But alcohol damaged basically every area of your brain. All that damage isn't going to instantly correct itself. Plus, all that damage is going to show up as bad sleep, trouble regulating emotions, impulsivity, mood swings, difficulty remembering things or having brain fog, and having trouble thinking things through and making good decisions. And unfortunately, all of these problems make it easier to turn to alcohol to cope. So just because you had your last drink, it doesn't mean alcohol's done messing with you. A 2019 study from Spain looked at 90 people who were hospitalized for their alcohol use disorder and found that alcohol-related damage to white matter in the brain persisted for 6 weeks after the participants had stopped drinking. And a 2020 study published in Addictive Behaviors found that in very early sobriety, patients showed a slowdown in processing speed, they had memory problems, and they had executive functioning problems. Follow-up exams on these patients found that cognitive performance significantly improved during the first few weeks of sobriety. So it seems like there's a lag period when you first get sober where things may get a bit worse and then the improvements start happening. But just because the improvements start happening doesn't mean they happen instantly all at the same time. A 2020 study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry looked at people diagnosed with alcohol use disorder and took scans of their brains 1 day to 2 weeks after their last drink. The researchers saw that the closer to the last drink that the participant was, the greater the disruption in the activity between the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, which helps us regulate our emotions, and the striatum, which helps us act, make decisions, get motivated, and controls how valuable we think a reward is. And the more severe the disruption to this brain network was, the more likely it was for the person to go back to drinking. So all this damage adds up, and it makes it really hard to get that first few weeks of sobriety in. But once you get your first few weeks in, you start to build momentum and you start healing. And it's not all bad news. You just have to be patient. A meta-analysis looked at 12 different cognitive functions and found that after 1 year, people with alcohol use disorder only had minor differences compared to the control group of people who didn't have a problem with alcohol. It's really important to understand and really recognize that this meta-analysis, which is an analysis of several different studies, found that it takes about a year for cognitive functioning to be almost recovered. So you have to be patient with yourself, give yourself a break, and remind yourself that healing takes time. Sleep takes time to improve and heal too. Studies have found that by 1 month of sobriety, sleep has improved a lot, but it's still not as good as healthy controls. Sober people may still struggle with falling asleep, waking up often, and then having trouble getting back to sleep. Our perception of how well we sleep also suffers longer in sobriety. Compared to healthy controls, perception of sleep quality remains lower for up to a year of sobriety. So even if you did have good sleep, you don't think your sleep was as good as it actually was. Studies have also found that there's a significant improvement in insomnia symptoms during the first 6 months. So that's good news. So if you're having trouble sleeping, just hang on, do what you can to get to sleep, whether that's melatonin, trying CBD if you're comfortable with that, doing meditation, and know that your sleep will continue to improve. Generally, difficulties falling asleep start to resolve within 5 to 9 months of sobriety, But sleep fragmentation, or waking up a lot, can last for up to 21 months. And by 2 years of sobriety, sleep has basically returned to normal. So 2 years for sleep to fully recover. And if you want to learn more details about how alcohol affects our sleep and how sleep recovers over the first 2 years, go check out episode 75. I know how frustrating that can sound when I keep saying 1 year or 2 years, but a main part of sobriety, according to all the experts that I've talked to, like Dr. Lemke from Dopamine Nation, is tempering expectations. We're used to instant gratification and getting everything we want and controlling our mood as soon as we want it. If we expect things to be amazing and perfect and then they still suck, we'll get discouraged, feel why bother, and then go back to drinking and continue to feel horrible. So if instead you can keep reminding yourself that healing takes time, you'll be able to tough it out when you feel like trash, emotionally or physically, because you know you're on the right path and you have faith that you will feel better and you're doing the right thing for yourself. So even though I knew this information years ago, I didn't fully appreciate it until recently. I didn't feel like I was still healing for 2 years, but looking back, I absolutely was. So you can be healing and not even like really feel it. It's not like the first 2 years is gonna be really hard. I'm not trying to imply that things suck for 2 years and then they start to get better. There's just this background healing going on. So like I said in the beginning of this episode, a major frustration that many of us have is sobriety obsession. We're just sick of the obsession in general, and we want to feel normal. If you have sobriety obsession, just go with it for right now. Harness that creative energy and excitement into something positive, and it will eventually even out, I promise you. Now at 3 years sober, I feel like I'm finally moving on. I'm finding balance in my life and other interests besides sobriety. I started writing about business and podcasting tips, and I'm pursuing more than just work in the sober community. But it's critical that you do the emotional work. And the more work you do, the faster that you can get to this moving on point. We can't move on if we're still reactive, impulsive, triggered all the time, and we can't control our emotions. Of course, I recommend doing this work with a therapist, but it's also helpful to get support from other people who get it. So this could be in meetings or working with a sponsor or being a part of some type of community. We need to understand why we drink, what our triggers are, how to manage feeling triggered without drinking or blowing up, and how to self-soothe. I see so many newly sober people out looking for content that upsets them. They don't realize that's what they're doing, but somehow they always come across content promoting drinking. I never see this type of content unless upset sober people send it to me. You can block alcohol ads and you can stop getting involved in pro-alcohol content. We can't change the world overnight. All we can do is work on ourselves and help as many people as we can, and show them the way to feeling better and being free. Getting upset and fired up over this type of content just keeps you unhappy. And part of the journey is understanding how to protect your mental health. If you keep coming across pro-alcohol content that's upsetting you, the more you look at it, the more you send it to people, or if you comment on it, that tells the algorithm that you want to see that kind of content, and then it's going to continue to be sent to you. If instead you can ignore it and move past it really quick, the algorithm will eventually get the point that you don't want to see that, and it'll stop being sent your way. And if you don't know how to block alcohol ads, I have a highlight on my Instagram page with screenshots walking you through how to do that, because you don't have to see alcohol ads on social media or on YouTube. And if you do want to get a bit personal, then I recorded 3 episodes about each year of sobriety, what changes I noticed, and what challenges I faced for my members. If you're looking for support, community, and meetings, then check out my membership. The link to see all the cool stuff that's included is in the show notes. And just remember, you're not alone. Keep working on your recovery and give yourself a break when it feels overwhelming or like everything sucks and it's a waste of time. And there's no reason that you have to do this alone. Just get some support. It only helps. Things can't be perfect overnight. And as long as you're working at it and you're willing to get some support and try something new, you'll get there. So keep reminding yourself, whatever you do, just don't drink. And I will talk to you next week.
Hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.